We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Lieutenant Governor McKee, during the campaign, you said Rhode Island can't afford to absorb the cost of continuing to operate Health Source Rhode Island. Do you still believe that to be the case?
Absolutely.
What's your message to the 26,000 or so people who have signed up to rely on Health Source as it moves forward?
I think we always have to ask the question, can we do better? And once we find out whether we can, then we've got to figure it out. Now, I was out in Albuquerque with incoming lieutenant governors and the executive board 3-4 weeks ago, and we were talking about this very subject. And there are states that are bringing in more people onto the healthcare program at significantly less cost. So we just need to find the sweet spot in terms of how to lower the cost so that the program can be continue going on. It is a good program, and I think that people can benefit from that, especially small business owners. But we got to make sure that the cost gets lowered.
Before we go to Scott, if Health Source goes away, where do these 26,000 or so people go for their health care?
Now, over and over again, and I think that some people got that wrong, and I corrected it, is that I don't think we should give that up to the federal government. So I think what we should be doing is keeping it in-house and then finding ways to control the cost there. We did that as municipalities and lowered our costs in our communities by hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's no reason the state can't do it.
Lieutenant Governor, you have been vocal about this whopping rate increase that National Grid, our big electricity provider, wants to put in. Is it time to maybe go back to regulating utilities with a PUC as a common carrier the way we did before this deregulation of all this stuff?
I'm sure anything's an option, Scott, but what I've been advocating for, and we intervened in that hearing in December to make a number of points, and one of them was first we asked them to spread the cost out as the grid did in New York, the state of New York last winter. We asked them the PUC commission to look at a better procurement strategy. We've been in the oil business, small oil business for 100 years. In the last 20 years, we've been doing risk management. I understand that you can procure it better. Pasco Electric this year had no increase.
Well, it's municipal. It's a nonprofit.
Huh? Well, the issue here is that they don't make any money on securing the energy to fire up the plant. They make the money when they deliver the energy after the plant's fired up. But the problem is they could secure it better. Pennsylvania has the PUC, and I've met with the PUC, Tom Ahern and his executive staff since the hearing, prior to being sworn in. They have a proactive site to tell people that they can buy their energy elsewhere. I went home after I heard that PUC executive staffs had done that in December. I did that with a company. I lowered my cost for the next 3 months by 28%. We have less than 6% of the customers on that. They're apologizing in Pennsylvania, have 37% on it. There's millions of dollars to be had. $105 million cost is being passed through. The grid's making no money on that issue. They make the money on the other side of the equation. We really need to inform the customers, inform the ratepayers they have options, and then protect them once they switch.
One of the things you spoke about as a candidate was hoping to reverse the brain drain of young people leaving Rhode Island. Now that you are Lieutenant Governor, what are you going to do about that?
Well, we're going to work on the fact that you need to retain your very best talented, skilled people in the state of Rhode Island, and you've got to go out and be very proactive on that. The first thing you do is change the economy. Give them a reason to stay.
But if there's no jobs here, they're not going to come.
That's correct. You've got to change the economy and give them reason to stay.
Back to one thing on the grid issue. You know, Governor Chafee tried to push this, and people just wouldn't listen, and a lot of opposition from National Grid, but other New England states have done very well in holding down energy costs by contracting long-term for Canadian power. And Rhode Island years ago was one of those states, Canadian hydroelectric power, which is a renewable source. Why doesn't the state try to work with that?
They should be looking at every option to control the cost, Scott. Any option out there that is not, just not environmentally unsafe. And where I'm planning in my office to intervene with the PUC on any rate increase that impacts small business in the state of Rhode Island. We plan to do that, and we'll certainly research those issues.
We're talking here with Rhode Island's new Lieutenant Governor, Daniel McKee. As the mayor of Cumberland, you were a strong supporter of Merrill Academies, a different kind of public school. Do you expect to continue that kind of advocacy in your new role as Lieutenant Governor?
Well, in terms of the economy, we just talked about, there's nothing more important to move our economy than in public schools and public education. So we've been very successful on those regional mayor-led public school models. We're going to continue to do that. I'll be leveraging the office, quite frankly, in terms of convening people to continue to bring them in and create the most highly innovative public schools that we possibly can.
There are a lot of Democrats who are not really big fans of charter schools, and there was quite a bit of Democratic support for your Republican opponent, Catherine Taylor, because of some of your stances. Do you expect your support for charter schools will hurt you politically?
Well, that's not important. So what's important is that we move the economy forward, and so you got to do the right thing. You ask that question, which we'll have an op-ed out shortly, to say, can we do better? Can we do better in our public schools? Can we do better and contain our energy costs, our health costs? We answer that question, and quite frankly, you just got to go and get it done.
It seems like in the pension overhaul that the cities and towns were kind of left behind on that. Is there any way, we did it for the state employees under the direction and leadership with now Governor Raimondo, then General Treasurer Raimondo, but she didn't seem really to have the political will to do it on the municipal level. Is there any hope for that?
I campaigned and say that the municipal leader is going to have a place to hang their hat in my office, in the lieutenant governor's office, and that's going to happen. I've already started talking to them. We'll be meeting very shortly. And we'll be comparing notes about what we did. What we did in the town of Cumberland on our police unfunded liabilities on both the pension side and the health insurance side is, as I said, precedent setting. It happened in Cumberland, so maybe you don't really pay attention to it as much as you should. But we realigned and reset for every new hire that we brought into the police department, Scott, so that we took us off a $200 million cliff on our OPEB cost. And we actually now—
OPEB is other post-employment—
That's right. That's the health insurance cost.
Other post-employment
and
benefits.
And avoided a $200 million cliff.
Well, that sounds great, but you know what? A lot of these communities, their problem is not the new employees. It's the legacy pensions.
Well, what we found is when we reset for the new employees, our actuaries showed that we started to straight line the problem. So it may be true what you just said, but it may be very similar to the town of Cumberland. We are fully funded in the last budget that I left, fully funded on the ARC, the annual required contribution, but for both the pension and for the health insurance. It can be done.
So you seem to be saying if the municipal leaders are prudent and honest with managing their money, that this they can do it by themselves and don't need state help?
You need to negotiate it. We negotiate it. But the state needs to give support. And that's what I'm going to do as lieutenant governor, is make sure that where they need the support, they get it. And it makes common sense to the municipal leaders, so they're not just being mandated, this is what we're going to do.
One of your three prescribed responsibilities as lieutenant governor is chairing the long-term coordinating council. What are your top goals in terms of that? Do you see a way to lower health care costs as part of your role there?
Well, a number of the people who provide those services have, you know, are small businesses. So as you work to improve, if we can lower energy costs, we're going to help those businesses operate. It'll be interesting to see how the executive order, quite frankly, goes in terms of whether this office will be involved in the health exchange with Governor Roberts moving to the Secretary of the Health area. That has not been clarified yet. But anywhere where I can help the small business, and I have already met with the long-term health care committee, good, energetic people, anywhere that I can help there, it makes sense. But on the small business side and the economy side is really where the focus will be.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And thank you to Rodin's new lieutenant governor. Congratulations. And thanks for stopping by, Daniel McKee.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for the invitation.